Hello everyone, I'm Adrian Nuza and I'm involved in the open source project Sphinx Search. In this talk I'll do an overview of how you can do real-time searches using the Sphinx software. First, I have a question. How many of you used Sphinx before? Okay. Quick introduction to Sphinx. It's a high performance full text search engine. It's licensed under GPL2. It's written in C++. It's in use and since over a decade. And it can be compiled and work on most or any modern system that can use a C++ compiler. Okay, so why a search engine? First, let's take the example of MySQL. I think most of you have used MySQL, and as you know, MySQL can perform text searches, and it also have a full text index, which is quite decent. But at some point, it start having problems. Like, so there are two big things why you should need a search engine, opposed to using the MySQL one. First is the performance. And it's one thing, it's the speed of queries. And the second one is the resources consumed. I mean, CPU and especially memory. Because, for example, in MySQL, if you want to have the best performance doing full text searches, you need to put all the index in the memory. And if you have like 50 gigabytes of index, that's quite a lot of memory. The second reason is the quality of search, which includes possibility to have advanced ranking, possibility to have multiple choices of how you can search, and also to have advanced tokenizing options, not just having a plain search. So independent full-text search engines, Sphinx or others, use offer speed for full-text searches, but in general they have additional things like geospatial searching or faceted searches. When Sphinx was first developed, it was developed in mind to complement the MySQL full-text search. So the first type of index that it was developed, it was using a source to fill the data for it. So you declare a MySQL query, you give it a command, it will start indexing the data, and then when it's ready, you can search it. However, this comes with some problems. One is that if you get new updates in the database, then you need to do the index again. There is a workaround for this by using a separate, smaller index that will keep only the updates. We call it a delta index. But even so, the delta index, you need to use a cron job and do the reindexing at every several hours or 1 hour or 15 minutes. And that, in the end, will put additional pressure to your database by performing the queries. And also, you can put that additional pressure to the system because it always needs to write some new files. So in the end, we came up with another type of index. We call it real-time index because, first of all, it has no source and it acts similar to a database table. So it starts empty and you can start pushing data at any time to it, doing new content or doing updates or deleting data from it. And during this time, you can always perform searches on it. Okay, performance. The real-time index has same performance as the classic one or almost the same in very small cases. And to enable the real-time index, there is only one requirement is Sphinx. You need to set the workers mode to threads, opposed to fork or pre-fork modes which are available for the old indexes as well. Okay, first thing, let's talk about the structure. So I said that the real-time index looks like a table, so it has a fixed structure when you declare it. In general, a definition looks like this. You have the type, which is RT, and then you can have fields and attributes. In Sphinx, the columns are two types. One type is the fields, and the other type are the attributes, which I'll explain right now. The RT field is actually the full text field. You can have as many full text fields in an index. How does the full text works in our case? All the text that you are inserting in the index are put on an inverted index, which basically doesn't store the actual text, but instead takes each unique word, tokenize it, and then it attaches for it the position in the fields. So one word take his position that have in the fields. It also stores the position, it stores the fields on each the keywords appear, and also the documents and where he appears. There's a number of tokenizing features available for the full text content. This includes wildcarding. You can have a custom character set table. You can have stop words, synonyms. There is a basic segmentation which can be used especially for Asian languages. There's also paragraph and sentence detection, HTML stripping, and so on. Okay. That's all good. Okay, the attributes. You can have a number of attributes in the index. That includes 30-bit integers, also 60-bit integers. You can have booleans. You can have float numbers. There's a Unix timestamp attribute. We also have the RT attribute multi, which is actually a set of integers. There's a version for 30-bit and one for 60-bit. It's used when you have, for a document, you have several values, several integer values like categories, and you can store them on a single attribute. There's also a string attribute which stores the actual text. However, opposed to the RT field that we saw before, you can perform a full text search on it. It's used only to get it back in the results for sorting, for grouping. And an important thing, the string attributes is stored always in in the memory. So you shouldn't use it for very big texts. You should use it for small texts like titles. And lastly, we introduced this year an attribute that can handle JSON documents. So you can have unstructured data in your index. Initially, on version 2.1, which we released in the spring, there was a limited support. But right now, we have full support for JSON documents. Okay, let's see next how we can insert, update, or delete data from the real-time index. First of all, a quick introduction to Sphinx QL. It's one of our interfaces to work with Sphinx. It's basically a SQL dialect. And you can use it with any MySQL client or a library. And you just need, in case you want to use the MySQL client, you just need the client, not the server. It does, has nothing to do with installing the MySQL server for it. And to enable it in the configuration, you just need to declare a new listen interface with the host, the port, and the MySQL 401 protocol. And you can connect to it without specifying a password or user or a database. To insert content, you do exactly the same as you do it in MySQL. The syntax for the insert command is the same. There are some differences, like for example, props here, it's a multi-value attribute, the integer set that I told you, and you need to insert it like that. So there are no... anyway. Okay, there's also a replace command, which is used to do full text updates, string attributes, and the JSON documents. And we also have an update command, which is used only for the numeric attributes. And the syntax is the same as the one in MySQL. And for the JSON attribute, it's possible now to do in-place updates. So if you want to update an element inside the JSON document that it's already set and you want to set a new value for it, you can do it using the update. But if you want to add new elements from that JSON, you need to do a full replace using the replace command. Okay, deleting is the same in MySQL. In the older version, it was possible only to delete one by one by the ID. Now it's possible to use an arbitrary condition. And there's also a command, like in MySQL, to empty the whole index. Okay, the title is wrong. So in the last version, we added a possibility to add new attributes. For now, it works only for integers, floats, and booleans. But in the future, we'll add the rest of them. And we'll probably add a feature to be able to remove attributes as well. Let's go to searching. If you already use the indexes, there is no difference between searching an old type index and a new one. That means by the difference in the query or the result is the same. The only thing you might need to change for a real-time index is to use the keywords mode for the dictionary. The old type ones have a mode called CRC, which will be deprecated in the future. So rankings. Sphinx comes with several built-in rankings. The default one is proximity BM25. It's a combination on calculating the proximity and the BM25 algorithm, which is kind of a standard for any full-text search software. There are also several available, like none, having known ranker, match any, word count, fill mask, and just having the BM25. But the most powerful one is the one that allows creating expressions. For example, here, this ranker, it's actually the default one. It makes a sum between the logos common sequence multiplied with the user weight. The user weight, it's a setting that you can have it. You can specify what weight you should have for each field when the search is made. It's then multiplied with 1,000 because this value is quite small. And then the BM25, it's added. There are other metrics that you can use it in an expression. You can find it in the documentation. I will not expose them because it takes a bit to explain all of them. Okay, this is how a simple tokenization looks. You define the char type UTF. You need the dictionary keywords. The minimum word length specify which word should be length, meaning that they should be more or equal, they should have a length of two or more characters. Infix length defines that this, the index will enable wildcard searches and should be enabled only for words that have a length bigger than three. We also enable the morphology processor, the English one that is built in Sphinx. It's possible to have other processors that are built in Sphinx, and you can also use some external one from the Snowball project. And the last settings enable the star that you use it for wildcarding in searches. Otherwise, if it's not enabled, the star will be treated as a normal character. Okay, a full text search comes with a list of operators that can help you to do searches. The Boolean is a simple one. It's available in MySQL. There is the simple phrasing, the proximity. So if you have hello world and you specify a proximity of 10, hello and world in the document, they must be within a range of 10 words. Otherwise, the search will not be matched. The quorum operator, so we have a phrase here with five words, but to have a match, this operator says that there are enough free words to do the matching. There's also an exact form which is used especially for the morphology, because the morphology, for example, in English, will make cats to match cat, but you might want to match exactly the cats and not only the cat. So with the exact form operator, you can use it to do those kind of matches. There's also an operator for strict orders. The order you specify, the keywords must be in the document in the same order. There are also the operator sentence and paragraph. So this means if you have a sentence and paragraph detection in the index, the search will only match if the words are in the same paragraph or the same sentence. Normally, when you do a search like hello world, it will search on all full text fields that you have, but you can select the search to be made only on several of them or to exclude some of them. Another way of using Sphinx, the first way of using Sphinx is the API. This is a very basic and very simple example. It has many more functions to be used. We have an official API in PHP, Python, C, Ruby, and Java, but there are also some people ported our API to Node.js or Go or Haskell and .NET also. And beside that, you will probably find some frameworks that are built on top of the API. There is one in Python, which is quite popular. Okay, doing a search in Sphinx SQL, it's similar to the MySQL one, except that in MySQL, when you do a full text search, you have the match against operator. Here, you only have the match. And beside that, you can have additional filtering. You can have limits. The second example introduced the option statement, which is not found in MySQL. It's something that it's only in Sphinx SQL. It allows defining some special options for your query. For example, I'll already explain you about the weights on each field. This is how you can declare them. And also there is an expression ranker here as well. Sphinx doesn't allow the doing or in the where clause. If you want to do something like that, you need to declare in the select statement an expression. So in this example, we have something like views greater than 10 or category it's 4. And then in the where clause, we make a condition equals 1. I put it this because a lot of people are asking why there is no where in Sphinx. Besides doing full text searches, Sphinx can do also geospatial searches. So for that you need two float attributes in which you store the latitudes and longitudes. And then using the geodistance search, you can perform radial searches around the point. In the older version, you had to store the coordinates in radians. But in our latest code, we modified the geodistance function, and it has options to specify if the point should be in degrees or radians, if the output should be in miles, meters, kilometers, and also the method to be used. In the old version, we used the Harvestin algorithm, which is very precise for calculating distances, but it's not the fastest one. So now you can use the adaptive method, which is actually a polar flirt algorithm, which is quite precise, or enough precise for most people, but it's much, much more faster. So the geo distance will give you an output, the distance, and then you can compare to have a threshold for the distance. Here it's the output on in the old way it in meters. Like my SQL, Sphinx allows also multiple queries to be specified at once. This is used to make faceted searches on Sphinx, because a faceted search is pretty much doing a grouping on several attributes. One thing that is nice in Sphinx, if you have a multi-query and the filtering condition don't change during the other queries, there will be made only. So the first and keeps in memory the result set. The next one, since the condition didn't change, we'll use the same result set, but we'll perform a different grouping to give you the count for that that unique property that you have on that attribute. Okay, some things about the internals of the real-time index. Each real-time index is composed on two pieces. There is one piece that always stays in the memory, and we call it a memory shard. And in this memory shard, you have the latest updates that you make to the index. And the second part is one of or more disk shards. RTMem limit is the maximum size the memory shard can have. When it gets filled, it will be flushed to disk as a disk shard. The minimum limit is 32 megabytes, and you can increase it to sizes of gigabytes depending how your data is. Time, as you add more things, you will get more disk shards. This will slow down the search a bit, or maybe not well, really a bit, maybe more than that. So the solution is to merge all the disk shards so Sphinx don't read so many files. You will merge all the disk shards into one. This operation is intensive because it's a shard which has a number of documents, and it needs to merge the documents from another shard. That means to merge the full text index as well. It can be intensive from the point of disk activity. And if you want to throttle that, like making it to take it longer but don't affect your system so much. There are two options, the merge operations per second and the maximum size of a block that it's processed at once. Yes, it's not non-blocking. Because the real-time index has some volatile data in the... Me? Oh. So you ask... Is the is the merging blocking the index? No, the answer is no. Because the real-time index has some data that it's only on memory at a time, so it's volatile. In case you have a server reboot, it can be lost. Because of that, we have support for binlog, similar to MySQL. There are two options that you'll have interest to set them. One is the binlog path. If the binlog path is empty, that disables the binlogging, which is not recommended because you could lose data. And the binlog flush, which is very similar to the InnoDB flush option. It has three values. It can flush and sync every second. That's the fastest way, but you might lose 1 second of data. Value one, you can flush and sync every transaction. It's the most safest, but it will slow down a bit the server. And it's also the value two, which is the default one. It will flush every transaction and sync every second. Okay, so let's say you already have a database and you want to use a real-time index. So what you need to do is to make a script that will do inserts in the real-time index. This might take too much. And to have the index ready faster, you can use a classic index. So pretty much you set up the classic index with the same settings as your real-time index. You give it the source. You create a query that will grab the data from the database. You do the indexing. And then you can use the attach index command to transform it to a real-time index. This operation is almost instant because it will simply rename the files, change the index header file, and that's it. You can already use the index to search it or insert new data on it. Okay, so in Sphinx, when you do a search on an index, only one CPU core is used. To use more, you need to set up a distributed index. Likely, you need to split all your data on several indexes and put them together on a distributed index, and then you can have a multi-core search. So in this, the distributed index can work with local shards or remote shards on another server, but it can be combined as well. So in this example, we have two local indexes and one remote that you can search them by just searching the distributed index. To make updates on the individual indexes, you need to do on them. Currently, it's not possible to use the distributed index. And to have multi-call support, you need to enable the distreads option, which should be set like that. If you have more local shards than the number of physical, not virtual cores, then you set it to the number of your physical cores. Otherwise, if that's smaller, just set it to the number of your local shards. And when the search is made, it will use all your the cores you specify. Okay, the last thing. It's a common question how you can copy a real-time index from one place to another, considering that it has some data in the memory. Unfortunately, you need to stop the search the daemon with a stop wait option, which will flush the memory shard to disk as a smaller disk shard. Then you copy the all the files to the new server and just start Sphinx and everything will be okay. This is it. If you want more information, you can use access our website. We have a forum, we have a wiki, we have a big documentation, and our code is available on the Google code as a CVN repository. Thank you for your attention. Thanks. Questions? Okay.